CES Mobile.
For a fish.
Hey, Andrew.
Guys, road your way.
Passable. Some of them are better than others. But all in all, not too bad for everything going on.
Main road is not too bad. A little shady spots are kind of rough, but other than that.
Didn't work yet.
Come down.
Start.
Good day of production, so we'll start up at 12:40 till 5:40.
Be careful out there.
Early enough to give myself plenty of time.
Plane. I gotta run to town, checking on family and making sure they got everything they need. And picking up some more gas for my side by side.
More power outages than we had.
With that wind they were calling for, it would have been out everywhere.
25 mile an hour gust at the house, but never really had any freezing rain, so it didn't really stick to a whole lot.
I have a weather station to measure the wind up here, so I can tell, see outside what I could see while I was out there.
Looks pretty clear.
Keep it careful on me, I'm going to hop up here because I'm getting to where I'll lose you here in just a second. Good to hear from you. Be careful out there. And I'll look forward to talking to you on later today, maybe. KO4HX, and I'll be clear.
Safe. KO4CEF, and I'll be standing by.
TR N0TR W2T. 22T, W2T N0TR. How's everything going with you and Bernice today?
It's fine. Just had a young man come out and put a fan on the ice maker on this stupid ice box. LG, life's good. That's a joke. Anyway, they didn't charge me any service call or anything. It was just $70 or so. But that poor kid, he originally was from Honduras, then he moved to California, and then he moved here, and he's never, you can tell, he's never driven on the snow. And he just scared to death, and he got stuck in the driveway, so I just now ran out. Bernice said she heard you call me. Luckily, I had a bag of salt there, and I just throwed it underneath these wheels. But I almost fell down just walking out there, Rusty.
The wrong shoes on this morning, so I come back in and put my New Balance shoes on, which have got little, you know, little like almost like cleats on the bottom of them. They're all used shoes, and they've got little inserts, little places where you can give you some traction for walking. So my first one's a slip, and I slid around. So I come back in, changed shoes before I went back out again. Yeah, I was just checking to make sure you and Bernice, everything was okay with y'all. I hadn't heard from you, and I've had the radio on the last couple of days, so I thought I would, you know, check up on the old man.
I talked to Shane, and I talked to Patrick, and I think Patrick said he was going out after a while, and Shane was out. He drives UPS, I think, at his truck. He said the roads are pretty bad, and they just finally come by here with the salter on our road. But our driveway, I put out salt yesterday on it, and it just froze right back last night into black ice. And I'm scared to death of it because I took a really super bad fall quite a few years ago. And I don't want to do that again, but I almost went down just helping that kid out. But his problem was he'd go about 2 feet and he'd stop. Once you get to moving, you want to keep on going.
Yeah, well, I just relocated my car from the upper side of my driveway down to the lower side so it's faced out towards the road. And just to be able to, I'm not planning to go anywhere, but I thought I'd at least move it and run the engine a little bit. But get all the snow off the windshield and things like that. And some of that had melted partially yesterday and then froze back up. So, you know, I scraped it off and it came off in chunks, and but I've got things moving again, so anyway, and I'll just haven't been anywhere since Saturday, and I've just pretty much stayed right here, you know.
I just got the acknowledgement from my bank card. It was $79.50, so that's not that's cheap for a service call. Of course, he didn't charge a service call. He just charged for the part. Bernice just lowered the blinds in front because, man, it's blinding. Well, I drove the truck out yesterday out the driveway and over to the other driveway and drove it up and down that driveway to kind of make a path in case I needed to get the car out, which I have no intention of. And today, right now, I went ahead and threw salt all over it again. But I'll tell you what, it would be extremely easy to get stuck right there in the driveway. We did venture out to tend to the chickens yesterday, but oh my, that cold air, I can't take it. And I put a mask on just now, and I started getting pressure in my chest before I even come back in the house after about 10 minutes. And that's scary, this cold air. I don't like it.
So I'm pretty much, you know, I've got a scarf I wrap around the my face when I go out, so it, you know, it gives me the protection, and I'm breathing through that and not breathing the cold air direct, so I kind of watch that, and I was able to walk out and walk across the road and, you know, and find out, and I was checking to see if the mail had come and hadn't seen anything on that, so... you know, I figured I'd walk across the street and see how, and took a look at the road, and the center of the road is kind of clear, and, you know, and it takes care of that, so they'll be able to get down here. You can drive, both lanes are kind of clear, so if I really had to go somewhere, I could get out.
You could, too. Well, I don't have any big knobbies on my truck or anything. I just got all weather radials, but, it would go. I thought about running up to the feed store and getting a couple of bags of chicken feed and just leave them back there at the 80 pounds on the axle. But I don't need it, and I ain't going to do it. And the only reason I went out like I did just then, Rusty, was the fact that this kid's an appliance serviceman. He needed to get out. And so I had to kind of hurry up and do it. So I just grabbed a paper mask and went out. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been out there. And we got him going, though. But he called his boss, and he says, I'm going home. And he was supposed to go to Traveler's Rest. And he said, we make 5 service calls a day is what they give them. He says, there ain't no way. I'm going home. I guess they don't have much snow out there in California or Honduras.
Kind of warm and sunny out there. Most of California, anyway. There are some places where they get snow in the upper part of the state, but you know, not down anywhere south of San Francisco, probably. Anyway, well, I just want to check on you. I got a couple of phone calls I got to make, a couple of people I got to catch up to. You have a good day, and you and Bernice stay inside, stay warm, and stay safe. And we'll talk to you later, maybe this afternoon. N0TRW2T.
Okay, Rusty, thanks for hollering. I got an email I'll send you here in a little bit. I forgot to send that one to you. I think it's long, but it's very interesting on those electric cars, which I ain't buying. But, yeah, we lived in, Bernice and I lived in Mountain View, California there when I was stationed at Moffett Field, which was about 40 miles south of Frisco, and we never ever saw snow. It'd get pretty cold, but we never saw snow, thank God. Those people, they don't know how to drive in it. And when there's ice, nobody knows how to drive in it. Take care, stay safe. You need anything, give us a holler, and we'll do what we can, but it sure ain't much, because we can't get out. W2T and 0TR73.
Okay, mobile.
B and 0TR.
I found somebody there. I had the volume turned down like a dummy. And I think that was Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
It was. I said you shouldn't be out there. I heard you talking to Dave way over my head earlier. But at any rate, we just had the appliance guy get stuck in the driveway here. I had to go out and throw salt under his wheels to get him out of the drive bump.
Well, I had an appliance guy come the other day and tell me that it was going to be $400 to fix my dryer. So I told him, nah, never mind. And I paid him for a service call, sent him on his way. Went online, ordered the parts that I needed for my dryer for $100. They'll be here in 2 days, then I'll fix it myself.
That's the way I used to do, Bob. But I can't get down now and squat or that. I get real bad leg cramps, and so I don't have much of a choice, but that's the way to do it. I think the maddest I ever got was at a dryer one time, and I never did figure that out, but anyways, if they got a lot of years on them, I just go buy another one. But one of the things that one time was giving me fits is that in that motor that drives them, and they probably are altogether different now because they use inverter drives, which are circuit board driven, put it that way, variable frequency drives. But in the old days, the starter switch and the governor on it had an extra switch in there. And so if the belt broke and the dryer motor quit, well, your heaters would be left going and it'd catch your stuff on fire or burn it up inside of the tub. And so they had a safety switch in there that it wouldn't enable until that started up to full speed, and then it enabled the heaters. And boy, that'd give you fits if you didn't know it was in there.
They're going out buying a new dryer, to tell you the truth, Tom, but they're close to $600 now. I mean, that's a low-dollar one, not even a top of the line. And I just, you know, told my wife, I'll see what the service call does, and if I can get it fixed for $250 or less, I'll do it. If not, I'll just buy a new one. Well, I got to thinking. He told me what was wrong with it, and I went online and ordered the parts, and I'm going to give it a shot. The parts are returnable, so I'm going to give her a go. $600 for a dryer. I'm thinking maybe a clothesline's going to be in the future. D7J.
Now, and Bob, in all probability, they'll take your order, but they don't have the appliance that you want. Amy, our daughter, went down to Lazy Boy the other day, and they said it'd be like 3 to 7 months to order a certain kind of a cure they wanted, and the same goes for appliances now. They're in short supply. Well, what was the problem fault on it?
It needs a new drum bearing, and they got the whole thing. All of it's in stock. It should be shipping today. They claim it'll be here in 1.7 days.
Figure that one out. I never heard it put that way. Yeah, hopefully it'll be a pillar block bearing, but it probably ain't. But I'm sure you can handle that, as many things as I've seen that you can do. And I don't blame you, but appliances are just ridiculous nowadays. You can spend $1,000 or more on a dishwasher.
The way I figure it is, you know, now this website that they have, and there's several of them, you type in the model number of the serial number of the appliance you're wanting to repair, and then you click it, you know, they narrow it down, drum part, door part, blah, 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 and you get right down to what you need, and it tells you, here's what you need, and here's a video how to do it.
It solves everything, don't it? Well, what's that website, Bob?
I'm a bit dumb because I'm driving, but all I did was Google search appliance parts, And the first one that came up was the one that I went to, ApplianceParts.com, maybe something like that. And you can type in, you know, pretty much any model number you need. And I've used them before. I needed a little door for our refrigerator. It's got a drawer, and we managed to crack the door. And I went on there and typed in the model number, and there it was, $12.95. Got it for $96 to come and replace it.
Easy enough. I can figure that one out. Oh, there, I got some sources, but I noticed this part. They order the part and it comes to your house, this Masters appliance in Greenville, and it comes to your house by FedEx, and it got here in like 2 days, and it was a, there's two fan motors, and the evaporator kept freezing up, and so this was, you replaced the one on the refrigerator, and so he didn't replace the one on the ice maker. Well, it turns out that's the one that was at fault. They use a little strip heater that goes around the perimeter of it to keep it from getting iced up. When it gets iced up, it's noisy. And at any rate, yeah, it's amazing what you can run into. For example, the refrigerator in the basement, you know, the old, they don't use that type of switch anymore. The switches they use on refrigerators now are hidden, and they're usually magnetic or proximity type or capacitive type. And they hide them. You can't even, you know, unless you know where it's at by working on them, you don't know how to actuate it to get the fans to turn on to troubleshoot them. But they're plug and play anyways. But that refrigerator in the basement, I got a schematic on it because the ice maker was messing up. And it turns out that they run the, there's a contact in that button that turns your light off and on inside that refrigerator. There's an extra contact in there that enables the ice maker. So in other words, until the door's shut, the ice maker's not enabled. And if that switch is at fault, the ice maker don't work. Well, who would have thought that the push button for the light would run the ice maker if you didn't have a schematic and know how to read it, you know?
Chat together with the sole intention of service calls.
Yes, what do we call it? Obsolescence engineering? they make it so it is confusing, but it's, if you can pop it out with a screwdriver and just plug another one in and then go. So I ordered two extra ones because it's failed before, and I thought it was the ice maker, and no, it wasn't the ice maker. There's even, most of these now have a test button in there, and you can run a test on them if you can find that button.
Some college yuppie figuring out how to make an extra penny, and that's just, we just don't need that kind of engineering as far as I'm concerned.
This plastic stuff and that now, it's here, that's all I can tell you. Yeah, well, I used to work on machine tools, and back in the old days, the positioning networks on them were usually controlled with micro switches and that, and they'd hide those micro switches all over the place. Then they went to glass scales, and they went to what they called inductances, and they'd feed back the information. And boy, it just got more complex and more complex. That one deflect jig mill I worked on had inductances, and they were excited with a triangular wave and quadrature, and you had to get the oscilloscope out to even see what you were doing. And then what they fed back into was a huge circuit board before they ever started slowing it down and speeding it up with these positional relays and all kinds of encoders and crap. Yeah, I could have choked them engineers at times.
I'm today about buildings and engineers and how they screwed up building a building in New York really, really bad. In fact, this super high building was going to fall because of some genius engineer, or should I say not such a genius engineer, and they did manage to figure out a fix for it, but this building, if it would have fallen, would have taken out, I don't know, 7 or 8 or 9 other buildings in New York and could have caused like 200,000 people to die. ND7J Mobile.
DR. Well, I had one machine that was made in 1966, and I was working on it through the 70s and into the 80s, and it was a three-axis CNC machine, and just one panel, Bob, not counting the telephone relays in it that are highly, there's a zillion contacts on them. It had 729 of those four-pole double throw ice cube relays. I think that's what Phil put in a box for you. But can you imagine 729 of them? And they were actuated by a binary encoder disk, which was spinning at light speed up there on the circuit boards with these fingers. And relays are inductive because they're picking up a coil. And so there's a spark there each time. And even though these were rhodium and palladium contacts, it was still a nightmare. And if just one of those relays didn't pick up right out of those 729, they were in decade banks and they counted in pure binary. Binary coded decimals was much easier that they went to later on, but they counted in binary and then they picked up an eddy current motor in order to position these axes. And they're kind of a sophisticated motor that basically you control the magnetic flux in the armatures of those motors. And that wasn't counting the motor generator set that generated all the electricity for behind it. So, yeah, there's not too many soft spots left in my heart for those engineers.
When I was born, an engineer drove a train.
Yeah, that's what my daddy done for 42 years, I think it was, for the Kansas City Southern Railroad. He started out shoveling coal on a steam engine, but was a fireman for years and then become an engineer. I used to go out and ride around the yards with him when he had the hostler and helper job. If he was on the extra board instead of out on the road, you know, driving passenger trains and freights. Nowadays, just to approach him, you have to have a password and give that password. And they got an all-glass cockpit up there. They're really pretty neat nowadays. Just send 0TR.
Waiting for a while, but I don't think I'd want to make a career out of it. But too much travel involved. I've had enough traveling. I want to travel, but I want a vacation. So, well, Tom, I'm approaching the QTH here very shortly, and as soon as I pull in the driveway, I need to hop out and run into the house. I have some food here that's hot, and I want to get it inside the house that's hot when it's hot. So I'll let you go now, say 73s. I heard Rusty calling you earlier. I don't know if he's still around, but he was calling you for something. Might want to listen for him. You and Bernice have a good one. We will talk to you very soon, I'm sure. ND7A73.
Okay, Bob, good talking to you. I'm glad you made it home safe. You be careful. And, the railroad, my dad, when they were busy, he was never home. He was just gone. It's no kind of family life because he was out on the road all the time. And it ain't no fun doing that, as you well know. But you got to make a living. 73's, Bob. And I did talk to Rusty a while ago. ND7J and 0TR clear.